Good afternoon, Dashers. I'd like to remind you that tonight is movie night on the quad. You bring the lawn chairs, we'll supply the popcorn. In other news, due to being short-staffed this weekend, all activities will be canceled until the staff returns. That being said, if you do anything this weekend, remember, there are no chaperones, so try to be responsible. I mean, honestly, Butler, what's the worst that could happen?
Oh, hell, we're on a roll. I like this. This is fun. Let's do one more. One more.
Finish video.
That's my favorite.
Good for recipes.
Holy moly!
Afternoon, Dashers. Could the substitute planning committee please report to conference room U? Could the substitute planning committee please report to conference room U?
Understand that we're a little short-staffed this week. The raccoon flu has been hitting the staff pretty hard.
Vanquished raccoon flu or reclu is a hot thing. And when I've just recovered from it, and what it does is it makes you lose your mojo. It is deadly to those who die from it. Everyone else is gonna survive.
Well, Nate, let me tell you, standing here looking at you right now, I'd say that you have quite a bit of mojo. You're looking good. You're looking real good.
X marks the spot where we can find the cure. I'm sure that it's over near Nurse Nancy. I'm sure she can help us.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have some inside experience about what the raccoon flu, the raccoon flu is. Nate, what was the experience like for you?
Zeppelins just coming in from all sides. It was like an attack of Zeppelins. It was very slow. You could see it coming from a mile away. It got intense, but didn't last long. And then it just went all down in flames.
Apropos of nothing, might I say that we should come up with some people that we would like to come in as substitutes for our missing teachers.
Boy, you are right about that, because it seems like our numbers are dwindling very quickly. If we don't do something fast, we're not going to be able to have classes.
Carla Rose, I hear you. We are still missing two substitutes who apparently walked off campus somewhere. We've never heard from them since. Two of our substitutes are getting married and have removed themselves from the pool until after the wedding.
Right,
Would you suggest?
The best thing to do in this situation is probably to go to the list of names that we have on the substitute list. And I'm just going to put it right out there. Ryan Seacrest, he's not on the list, but he should be.
Everyone likes Ryan Seacrest, but everyone loves Greg Kinnear.
Frankly, I think that maybe getting celebrities like that might be more difficult than maybe finding our own celebrities in town. I'm sure we could get, you know, Roderick and Broderick or Mort and Mindy or Hiram and whoever. I mean, we've got our own local celebrities. Let's tap into that talent.
Greg Crane Gear from the construction company might be available. We could switch it up a bit.
Homer and Hiram. Yeah, that was it. I we've had them here once in the past substituting. It didn't last long. They just yelled at all the kids coming into their room saying, get out of my room or something. I don't know. So, yeah, we won't go down that train again.
Is that the day when they just like left after the first period and went down to the artisanal place?
January. I think that happened back in January. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that they ran off the school grounds because it was too cold out, but I think that they did skip class.
Kindly remember that we have been going through our substitute list pretty closely. We just need to find a way to get more substitutes to potentially take on classes here.
Leonard Nimoy is on the substitute list? That is crazy. How did we never call him?
Maybe because we didn't get his phone number until I put it down, because me and the Nimoy are like this. And if you can't see what I'm doing, I'm crossing my fingers as if we're very close and hugging. And I'm also now doing the live long and prosper because that's his favorite thing to do.
Nimoy's great. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm just not sure that our budget can handle that. But I think, you know, maybe our budget can handle a couple dollars an hour more for some substitutes, and that might be something that will entice them.
Originally, we wanted to have Mr. Nimoy in as a substitute. It was tough finding a time to schedule that on account of him being dead.
Possibly. It's probably not possible.
Q, the guy that played Q, that other Star Trek character? He's not dead yet. He never dies. Like, ever. Across any continuum. He might settle for a couple dollars extra.
Right. He might. Just going back to Nimoy, though, maybe, you know, they've made a lot of technology leaps in the last few years. Maybe we can get a holographic version of Nimoy. Nimoy, not Nimoy. You know, then we wouldn't have to pay him as much because he's not real.
Spock is now played by Zachary Quinto, who worked with friend of the show Fred Greenhalgh on some of his projects. Maybe we could have a connection there.
To tell you the truth, I think Professor Hunt's onto something, because we don't even need to be here. Nobody needs to be here if we can induce holograms of us to teach all of the students. It's like a new virtual, but a virtual present virtual, you know?
Unquestioningly the best answer if that technology exists. Let's look into it. In the meantime, somebody try to get me John Delancey and Zachary Quinto's number, and I'll see if I can get the wheels in motion.
Does anybody want one of Miss DeBree's brownies? They're delicious.
Isn't that how you got sick in the first place?
Well, it is how the first time I experienced light speed. Just line up in front here. Line up in front. I wanna address each and every one of you here at the Substitute Training Center of Balderdash County. You have done well in your certification for substitutery. You've done well in your dedication to the studentery. And now this time I wanna present to you with your certificates. But before we do that, I'd like to bring up our valedictorian, the head of the class, the man with the plan, or as I like to call it, the only one who showed up every single day to class, the one and the only, Mitchell Crown. Mitchell?
Sir, yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Captain, sir.
I gotta tell you, you're a little intense, but the kids are gonna fall right in line with you when you substitute.
That they will, sir. I will make sure that I hold down the fort, and they will not step out of line.
Now, as a lifelong career Marine, I understand that you have the dedication and the drive needed to keep the kids on the straight and narrow in your class.
Absolutely, sir. I've been trained in a myriad of tactics ranging from water-based treatment to interrogation of other sorts, which I am not at liberty to get into. However, I do have the means to deploy them at any time.
Now, about your deployment, I'm proud to call you a substitute for Balderdash County. I'm proud to see you walk into the school with full honors. I have my one minor concern. You did put down on your primary resume prior to joining that you were an expert in military recorders.
Absolutely, sir. And I believe that my expertise with recorders in the military will bring another level to our music program here at the school, sir.
Well, see, that's where I got confused. At first, I thought you were good at recording things in the military until I saw you whip out that flute.
Yes, sir. I can play any song that you can march to on this recorder, sir.
I'm proud. I think you're going to do a great job in that music class. I've also noticed right here that you mentioned that you proudly killed the enemy with that recorder. I'm wondering if this might be inappropriate story to talk about in front of a high school classroom.
Sir, I have a PG-13 version of the story ready to go at a moment's notice.
So a lot less hurt, a lot more locker is what you're saying.
Yes, I throw an occasional ha-ha and R-O-A-L-F-O, I believe is the acronym.
That is an acronym. I'm not sure what it's for, but I'd be proud to stand by you when you try to say it. Now, one thing I want y'all to look at when you're sitting here and you're taking a look at Martin, you're taking a look at Mr. Crown, and you realize that he is dressed in his high and tights, khakis. Now, the nice thing about this is that if things go wrong in the classroom, in two steps, he will disappear. This kind of classroom camouflage is all the rage now. I want to thank him for leading the charge. Mr. Crown, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. It is an honor.
Now, the rest of you, your certificate of completions are right here in this pile on your way out. Please take a wet nap and help yourself to the cupcakes.
There's Ursa Minor. There's Scorpio. There's Orion the Hunter. Through ancient times to today, the stars have guided our path.
You know, I've always loved coming to the planetarium, even as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, the planetarium just, it's one of those places where I feel at home, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally know how you're feeling, because actually I went to the space camp as a kid, and that's where I just completely blossomed with my love of outer space and specifically the moon. It's always held a special interest for me.
You know, I was always so jealous that you were able to go to space camp, Laura, because I always wanted to go, especially after that movie came out, and you know, we couldn't afford it.
I know. I still feel bad about that. I know after Flight of the Navigator came out that you just wanted nothing more than to go up and explore the sky, and unfortunately, Mom chose me. I wasn't as interested as you were, honestly, and I always felt bad about that. But look, we're here now, pal, and you know, I'm glad we can share this together.
Yeah, I'm glad too. I mean, I mean, look, there's the projected moon up there on the ceiling.
Yeah, and that really soft and soothing music. And is that Sir David Attenborough narrating?
I think it is, yes.
There's Ursa Minor.
Now, if you notice, in the lower left half of the moon is the Laura Michaels crater, named after a young girl who went to space camp while her brother stayed home alone. The Laura Michaels crater was recently discovered to be the only place on the surface of the moon with liquid water. Again, it was named in honor of a brilliant young woman who went to space camp as a child and inspired the astronauts instructing there so much they reached out to their astronomer friends to name a portion of the moon. Laura, not her brother.
Surprise. Happy birthday.
Brother, you did this for me? This is... You... How... What on earth did you get... Sir David Attenborough! To narrate that! It's amazing!
It wasn't easy. I mean, you know, it wasn't easy for you to, you know, do everything that you did, but you reached your goal. You followed your dreams.
I did.
And, you know, my goal was to make sure that people knew about it at the planetarium. And I pulled a few strings. You know my buddy Tommy. He knows...
Tommy!
He knows some other guy and that knows somebody who went to school with David Attenborough.
Like
and,
7 degrees.
And we just made a connection. And, yeah.
My God.
Everybody's talking about your crater.
Well, if anybody saw my face while I was a teenager, that'd be the first thing that comes to mind. Oh. You know, like, I feel really happy, but also there's a part of me that feels really, like, bad, because he kept saying that, like, it was not her brother, even though he really wanted to go, and it was Laura that got to go. So I like that kind of, you know, like I've had that kind of like I kept feeling all like, oh.
I may have pushed my luck with the number of emails that we exchanged for this to happen, and I think maybe I irked him a little bit, but he'd already agreed to do it, so I think maybe that might have been.
Yeah.
If you notice, the Laura crater is right next to the ridge of I Need to Be Paid. Again, the Laura crater is right next to the ridge of I Need to Be Paid on the Sea of Right Now, you stodgy bastard.
That doesn't sound like any language that I know of. Is he implying that you need to pay him for his services?
Well, that is part of the deal that I was hoping maybe you could
brother,
lend me some money so that I could pay David Attenborough to talk about you. It's my little gift to you, so.
Well, you know, you got him to even listen to you and do it, and there's no way I could say no. How much did he charge?
Oh, well, that's the thing. It was a lot. I think my email it wrapped a few zeros around, and I missed it on the next line.
Zero.
So I thought it was going to be like $1,500.
Uh huh.
But it was $150,000.
I appreciate the thought, brother, but you know, if you go on Cameo, you could have gotten Sir Patrick Stewart for like $40.
What?
Yeah.
If you notice, the Laura crater is right now being eclipsed by the satellite of Daddy Needs a New Sports Car, Where's My Money?
Well,
welcome to this week's What Will They Think Of Next? Our first contestant is all the way from a London bathroom. That's right. It's your very own. You saw him here 1 month ago with his brand new invention. He's back for more. It's Curly Chuckles. Curly, welcome.
Well, hello. How are you?
Now, Curly, I'm very excited to find out about your new invention. I need you to tell me why myself and the rest of Balderdash County needs your running signed photograph of Matt Damon.
Well, I think it's quite obvious, actually. Everybody needs it because if you don't know Matt Damon, it's very important to appear like you do. And the best way to do that is if you have an autograph headshot of Sir Matthew Damon. And what that, in the best way to share it is by having it run around and just run right up to people, give it hugs. And they're like, oh, look, it's Matt Damon. And it's signed.
So what you're trying to tell me is when you're out at the Hollywood Hills, Goodwill Hunting, you need to pick up your feet and chase after your signed autograph of Matt Damon.
Yes, everybody will think much higher of you.
That's amazing. You have cardio, you have fan service, you have autograph collecting. It makes me ask one question. What will they think of next? Okay, audience, give him a big round of applause. Now, our next contestant here on What Will They Think Of Next, Balderdash County, is none other than that Aussie lassie, Sheila McBride. Sheila, welcome to the show. I understand this is your first time in America.
Good day, mate. It is. And it's wonderful. I love it.
You know, there's nothing I like better than Australian women with a voice loud enough to shatter my glasses. Now, I was looking at your invention and I realized I myself might be in the need for this amazing piece of kit. Yes, that's right. I am, of course, talking about the one and only cavorting kazoo.
Oi! That's right, mate, because when you're down under, there's nothing us Aussies like to do more than cavort. We cavort all day and night. It's our number one activity. And yes, we have the didgeridoo. Yes, we have all kinds of ways we could cavort in life. But the kazoo is number one, mate.
You know, Sheila, I have to say, there's nothing as exciting to me when people cavort with my kazoo down under.
Now,
the one thing I want you to talk about is, how could this kazoo buzz your way into the hearts and minds of American school children everywhere?
Well, it's because this kazoo, mate, is all tricked out. Now, you've seen those little tiny kazoos. I got one right here you get at the dollar store. That's not a kazoo. This is a kazoo!
That is a sizable improvement over your tiny little buzz stick.
Indeed. Now, if you take this piece of it out, fold it out, you could throw it across the sky and it comes back to you. So it's a returning kazoo.
You know, I always lose my kazoo. That would be a game changer.
You never lose it, mate. And then also, you flip out this grid and it acts as a Barbie.
Ha, ha, ha. Throw some shrimp on that kazoo. Give a round of applause to our Aussie lassie, Sheila.
Thank you, thank you. Love your country.
Our last contestant here on What Will They Think Of Next, Balderdash County, all the way from Minnesota. That's right, the Minneapolis Polka King himself, Lenny Martin. Lenny, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, how are you?
You know, Lenny, I was listening to my polka records this weekend and thought to myself, you know what's missing from my toolkit? Why, nothing more than an arc welding sponge. And I hear that you have just one of those ready to present to us tonight.
Oh, sure, you don't you know it? Look, I've got one right here in this little box right here. Let me open this box up and look, there it is.
Wow, the light coming off of that electrified piece of holy fabric is just a sight to behold.
I'm so sorry, I got to interrupt you because I've got to tell you to put on these goggles first. You put these goggles on and all right, you betcha.
Thank you. Not only am I fashionable, I am no longer blind. Wow, I can see the details of the sponge right now. Tell me, what is so important about an arc welding sponge?
Oh, well, you know, the arc welder is a very fancy machine, and when you need anything welded, you do it with an arc. And what better way to do it with an arc than with a sponge?
You know, right? Whenever I do it with an arc, I usually need a sponge after, and frankly, it's the perfect combination of tools.
I feel that's a joke that went over my head, but I'll just agree with you.
It usually goes over my head as well, especially if my aim is off. So, the one thing I want you all to do is I want you to take a look at which of these inventions you like best. We'll return with the winner after the break. You know, I was reading the paper, and there was this the story about some woman. She ended up aspirating liquid, or I don't know the basics. She got some disease in the lungs, and you know, I was looking at it, and what they said was it had to do with B-A-E. B-A-E. But they don't tell you what B-A-E is. I have no idea. Now, given the fact that the three of you are experts, I mean, you come in here to the Frag Hole every Thursday night. I mean, I figure you gotta know something. So, what I was hoping was, well, you know, Mickey Green Eyes. I mean, you've been in the business for a while. Granted, the business may be racketeering, but you've been in the business a while. you have to know what BAE is.
You bet your bottom dollar I do. BAE, as anybody knows, means baby anteater extermination. And I mean, you know, when you're trying to exterminate things, baby anteaters are the way to go. Quite often, you know, they use the little nose because the tongue's in the nose or something. And you know, when people try to mimic that, it leads to you know, lung stuff.
Frank, I mean, you're in finance. What do you think BAE stands for?
Well, BAE in my world is, you know, it's something not everybody knows about. It's below average energy. Now, in the finance world, people need to be on their toes to make sure that everything is, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and, you know, the numbers all make sense. And if you are coming into work, and you haven't had two or three cups of coffee by the time you've gotten there, the numbers are going to be off, and we can't have that. So below average energy is kind of an issue with some of my peers.
Interesting. And now that's a take I never considered, right? I never considered that maybe this lady got water up her nose that was infected with something because maybe her energy levels were slipping. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a really interesting take on that. But, Vinny, you're over here saying that's not the case. I see you bobbing your head. Now, as somebody who works for the airline industry, what does BAE stand for you?
To me, when I hear BAE and I look at the symptoms this lady had, it's clear it's big ass enchiladas, which is what our airline is serving right now. Now, what happens is you take a bite out of that enchilada and it's like a 12 out of 10 on the Richter heat scale, right?
Yeah,
so,
I get that, yeah.
Like immediately you're like, you know, stewardess, hey, yo, I need some water to douse out the fire that's burning in my mouth. So you take that water, you just splash it in your face, and you end up aspirating. I've seen it a number of times in the airline industry. Our enchiladas are just too hot, and they're too big. They're big-ass enchiladas, and they're
big
a problem.
Enchiladas.
They aspirate. It goes in their lungs. It mixes with some of that hot sauce. It causes a big, you know, biological health disaster.
That's a really interesting take. Now, again, I'm not sure which one of you are correct, but in my opinion, it seems like they're all really on point. You know, what was interesting about this story is what the woman said when she found out that she didn't have COVID. She didn't have anything weird about her, but she just inhaled this water and got sick. The doctor apparently asked her, so would you make any other changes to your vacation knowing this might happen? You know what she said?
What'd she say?
YOLO. Y-O-L-O. No idea what Y-O-L-O means. I've been racking my brain up there. Yellow, maybe? I don't know, right? I mean, I think I'm well read. I mean, I am a bartender here at Frag Hall. But in the real grand scheme of things, I just don't know. But because you're all these... these great, well-read people of industry, right? I was hoping you could help me out. So, you know, Mickey Greeneyes, you have this way about you, this cosmopolitan nature that helps put things together. You know the answers is what I'm getting at. What does YOLO mean to you?
Oh, jeez, I've heard this over and over again. Of course, everybody knows that YOLO means Yanni only loves Oko. You know, they say John Legend, somebody loved Yoko Ono. But that's not the case. You know, Yanni, he was big into her. And that had severe impact in the economy and such as so forth and period.
That makes sense. So what you're trying to tell me is that this lady used this position she had, newfound fame. She got papers sticking microphones in her face. And what she's trying to do is use this to make a political music statement saying, Yoko. I like that. Hold on one second. Order ready for table 4. I got 4 beers over here, Becky. All right, thank you. Now, Frank, you know, I see yourself shaking your head. I mean, obviously, YOLO is something that has to do with the banking industry and finance in general. So what do you think she's saying?
I'm glad you asked because I just couldn't believe what I was hearing over here. YOLO, for me, has always stood for you obviously like oranges.
Oh, interesting.
And by that, I mean, you know, on the stock market, oranges a kind of an indicator of, you know, when to sell. You know, when the oranges are doing well, that's when you sell. And when you know when you see that person. You can look them, and they stand out like a neon sign, and you're like, you obviously like oranges.
Interesting. So you think it has direct result to her being in a financial squeeze, if you will.
Exactly.
Excellent. Excellent. But again, Vin, you're shaking your head no.
Yay!
Right? So tell me, what does it mean in the airline industry?
Let me tell you my truth, okay? Look, I live for the airline industry, you know? My head's up in the clouds 24/7, let me tell you. And I hear YOLO all the freaking time. And you know what it means? You know, it happens to coincide with an old Buddhist mantra too. You know, it's something to live by. And it goes as such. Your oversized luggage obfuscates. Now, those are some big words. Let's break it down into simple things that we could think about. All right, so that basically means you're carrying too much contraband, all right? In your mind, not literal, in your mind. You're carrying too much contraband. You gotta get rid of some of it. Chuck it, left, right, off the plane. You know what? Give it to that gremlin on the wing. Whatever, get rid of that luggage, and I'll tell you what, you're gonna feel a lot better and get on with your life, all right? We in the airline industry know how to live it up.
Interesting. So that makes a lot of sense too. I mean, she's sitting here, you know, would you do it again, YOLO, you know, right? She's thinking she just went on a trip. Yeah. She needs her luggage. I got to be honest with you. All of these make perfect sense to me. I just don't know. I mean, I wish these papers would be more clear in their stories, all right? Let me top you off.
Hey Dasher fans, Coach Steve here to tell you about a brand new podcast I'm hosting called Head to Head. Each episode features a new guest competing against a member of the Balderdash Academy faculty in a game of pointless trivia. Join me and my co-host Randy Hunt as we see who is more intelligent than a fake professor. Now available on the Balderdash Academy feed on all your favorite podcast apps.
Good afternoon, Dashers. Could the HR Response Committee please report to Conference Room I?
I've been framed. I have been framed. That's all I gotta say, guys. I wasn't involved. I've been framed.
Just calm down. It's okay. We're all here. We're all in this together, and we can work through whatever it is, and we're on your side.
Kindly understand that I need to take a neutral stance here, but I'm totally behind you.
Like, all of us are going to be neutral. We're here to just support the middle of the road.
Me, I'm here too, and I'm happy to support you in whatever this is, unless it turns out that you actually did do the thing, and then I might change my mind.
Nobody's going to trust HR Puffin stuff, I swear.
Obviously, you guys have got my back, because if you wouldn't, then I would be quite upset. And we know what happens when I get upset. I'm starting to get upset right now.
Perhaps you should do some of those breathing exercises that you're so good at to calm yourself down. And we will get through this together.
Quietly tell us what happened.
Right now.
So, yeah, anytime now, you can talk.
Tingling. I'm all tingly. I'm like on the edge of my seat. I have to go to the bathroom, but I'm holding it in. You need to let us know!
Unfortunately, I have been advised to plead the fifth. I've been told that is the best bet to get through this, but I will happily interpretive dance it for you if you need me to.
Veritas Prep is probably behind this. We as Balderdash need to maintain our reputation of professional dancing, like Professor McGill just suggested, as our way of communicating that we are innocent.
Wow. Look at her go. My guess is it's something to do with elephants.
Xylophones would be a great way to accompany this dance.
You guys, just to clarify, Plead the Fifth was the name of the vodka I was trying to put out before I spent all my money.
Zip, 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 zip. I zipped when I should have zagged. That's what I did, and that's what you should do. Right now, they're telling you to plead the fifth. You should do that and then spill your guts.
Actually, you have a really good point there, and it did have to do a little bit with zipping or zippers and being zippy and Veritas prepped and elephants. You guys are all pretty much there. Just
breathe. Breathe, yes. Professor, breathe. It's going to be okay. You know, just continue those breathing exercises, please.
Calm down. It can't be as bad as you're letting on.
Dancing should really be a way that we do things like this in the future, because I feel like I got a good grasp of what happened.
Everybody here, just we need to know what you allegedly did not do. So we can move on with the rest of the HR meeting.
For crying out loud, your interpretive dance just stepped on my ding dong.
Gosh, that takes a lot of energy on that dancing. Okay, guys, so basically what happened was that I was trying.
Hang on. You know, admitting to something out loud sort of infers that you do feel like you're at fault. So perhaps it's best if we just keep this under wraps for our own safety of Balderdash.
Incriminating is the word you're looking for. This is a good place to end it. We don't want to incriminate you if things are going to move forward. Just, Molly, know that we have your back. And so I guess now's a good time for everybody to pull their pants up back up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Nate, can I have your ding dong?
It is chocolate. That's all right. I got a couple ho-hos.
Just love a good ding dong, guys. What can I say?
Well, that's what got her in the problem in the first place.
I'm so sorry.
Meanwhile, in the Balderdash Academy Teacher's Lounge.
Have you seen the thing that's going around Facebook? Your drag name is your grandmother's first name and the last sweet thing you ate.
Yep.
Oh, sweet
and
thing?
At the time first I answered my friend, I was Norma Ding Dong.
Awesome.
I don't remember the last sweet thing I ate, unfortunately. Reese's. That's not a very interesting.
I did eat a chocolate ding dong.
Oh, nice.
Right before slipping into a hot club for three. A hot
yes.
club?
Hot club. Tub. I was like, that's three. Cool. That's a cool saying, Bob.
Oh, hot club occupancy
turned on the jets three. And the disco yeah. light.
Occasionally, chocolate ding dongs are known as hot clubs.
What do they call them at Dunkin' Donuts? Like, they're just called like a chocolate stick or whatever.
A
like,
crawler
I think it's
something.
Pronounced
crawler.
Schlong.
Yeah, it's like chocolate stick.
Chocolate schlong.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Chocolate schlong. I'll take one glazed chocolate schlong.
I devil dog dare you to ask for one of those at Dunkin'.
Sam, I need to talk to you about this detail I found in the ledger.
Sure, yeah. I did everything in pencil just to make sure that, to be extra sure, that we can make all of the adjustments that we need.
No, that's, and I appreciate it. So thank you.
No problem, sure.
I'm a little, just a little curious.
Sure.
What you mean by this line, line 34...
Mm-hmm.
Which says petty cash for bribery. Could you explain what that means?
I would be thrilled to, sure. So our amazing police staff here in this delightful county that we live in. They seem to operate best when being fed a plethora of beignets.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And so I feel that it's important for the safety of our entire county, Balderdash County here, that in the ledger here for the city's expenses, that we make sure we have that beignet line. But we can't let people know, obviously, that we're getting our police members beignets when, you know, the laymen aren't. So, yes, discretion is important here for line 34. Sure.
No, and I understand discretion is very important. And I believe that giving the police the equipment they need to do their job is important for the safety of the community. What I'm curious about is why it's labeled specifically bribery. I thought for discretion, maybe donuts could be listed instead of beignets, but bribery raises a little red flag here or there. Just
absolutely. Sure. Sure. Yes. I understand the questions there. Full disclosure, many members of our policemen have body dysmorphia, and they feel better knowing that they are being bribed rather than being commented on their physical attributes. So they would prefer that their moral compasses be under surveillance rather than their physical statures.
Okay.
So I'm really just looking out for the community here to make sure that none of our community members start making fun of our police members for all of their beignets.
That makes sense to me.
Thank
you. That makes sense to me. Yeah. Yeah. That was really, really quick thinking.
Well, that's why you hired me, you know. I'm here to make sure that the books are in fact correct and sure. Reliable.
Excellent. One other minor question.
It's line 64, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yes.
It is. Hookers?
Yep. Yes. So. Oh my gosh, Mom, I am so excited to be down here at Crick's Creek. I've never learned how to fish before, and I'm really excited about putting this tiny little worm on the hooker here.
You're gonna do great, honey.
Thank you. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
I'm really glad that you brought me down here. And so this worm is a worm. It looks alive. Can I pull it out of the ground?
Yes, you can, Prudence. Just okay. give that worm a little tug.
Okay.
You can do it.
Oh my God, it's like really wiggly.
It is.
Okay.
It'll stiffen right up there. You just gotta just slip it right on that hooker.
Okay.
We come from a long line of hooking.
Okay. All right. I got it on here. It stops wiggling on that end, but it's still very wiggly on that end. Now I just like throw it in Crick's Creek.
You throw it in, but you have to make sure you hang on to that. To one side, otherwise it all goes in. And you don't want to just,
good.
You don't want to blow your load right off the top.
No, I want to make sure I can hang on to this stick. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Psst,
psst, yeah. Psst.
Hey.
Oh my God, Mom. Mom, there's somebody here. There's somebody here.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I heard this is where the fishing is really good. Wink.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good fishing down here, right?
Hey,
the
that
hookers.
Wink. Yeah, wink. I see the wink. You remind me a lot of Artie and his artisanal sodas.
Oh, so there is good fishing down here?
Well, I only got one slimy little worm right now, but I'm expecting it to pull in some really, really slimy fish, too.
Yeah, she's learning.
I mean, yeah, slimy fish isn't really what I was hoping for, but, I mean, she sounds nice.
Huh?
This is my first time, just so you know.
Oh, is it? Well,
that...
We've been here for years. We go back generations.
Oh, are you... Oh, really? Okay, so you can just tell me a little bit about the experience, right?
Hey,
Hey, hey.
Oh, my gosh, Mom, there's another person here. I didn't know it was going to be so busy.
It's a populous spot. What can I say? Hey,
I just wanted to give you a wink-wink, see if maybe this is where the fishing's taking place. I heard good things about fishing down here.
Oh, yeah, the fishing is, wink-wink, really good down here, and apparently there's slimy fish.
Yeah, it's a fishing hole.
Yeah, if you know what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my first time. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, me too.
Mom, my stick, I think I got
Give
something.
Give it a good yank.
It's wiggling all.
Give it a good yank.
Okay, I'm pulling.
There you go.
I'm pulling.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, it's a boot.
Hey, that is one boot.
That's
one boot away from being a pair.
It's fine. I'm going to rally, and I'm going to throw this line back in.
Guys, sorry to interrupt. Is this part of the fishing? Is this something that we're supposed to be doing to wink, wink, fish?
Yeah, I think this is all part of, the build-up to kind of, you know, the anticipation is all part of it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys. Hey. Oh, it's hard walking in these spike heels. Oh, hey. Yeah. Hi.
Those are beautiful heels,
thank
though.
Thank you. Are you guys here for the fishing?
Yes, it's my very first time. I'm so excited. I almost caught something, but it was just a boot.
It was just a boot.
Yeah, this is my first time, too, and I'm hoping to not catch anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I've been coming here a lot over the years. Let me tell you, I'm the best hooker around. Let me show you. This is my trick. Watch. I'm rolling down my fish nets. Rolling them down.
Oh, I forgot the nets. That's what I forgot.
I've taken off my fish nets, see?
Yeah.
I see that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That looks like fishing.
Yeah, and that's
wink.
How... Yep.
Wink, wink.
You wink? So I took my fish nets off, wink. And I'm going to throw them in the water like so. And get them nice and wet.
You're going to get at least two pairs of boots that way.
Yeah. Mom, I think that she's onto something. Catching with a net seems far smarter than waiting for a fish to just hopefully eventually grab the sperm.
You're right, sweetie. We should go talk to your Aunt Annette.
Do you like 80s television? Of course you do. Do you like helicopters? Of course you do. Do you like men serenading eagles by the waterfront while playing cello? Yes. Yes, you do. If you'd like to hear more about helicopters and cellos, please be sure and tune in to Ciampa and Klein the Airwolf Years every week on your favorite podcast service. Join hosts Greg and Dave as they discuss every single episode of the classic 1980s television series Airwolf. Be sure and subscribe today.
Yeah, so thank you so much for joining me. I've been thinking for a while what to do with my copious amounts of money. And every rich person is just putting out their own alcohol label. And I was thinking about a vodka, but I really need a marketing firm to really help me kind of figure out what the image is going to be, what the name is going to be. And that's why I brought the two of you here. So I'm really hoping this can be the next big product that blows Balderdash Academy away. So, Hubert, I believe you had a pitch lined up. If you don't mind, I think it had something to do with you're focusing on a Chihuahua aspect. Do you mind telling me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I understand you're looking for that impact, that I'm impressed, I'm impressive, I want this drink, but I also want to maintain high energy. So the way to do that is go with Nervous Chihuahua, a drink so energy-filled, it'll give you the buzz and force you to pee on the floor.
I love that. And there's this little loophole where, Balderdash County is able to combine alcohol and caffeine in beverages for whatever reason. So I'm really excited about that because it's illegal in most other places. And I think that can be our market right there. How much caffeine are you hoping to put into this?
Well, that's where the spin happens.
Okay.
Instead of doing the full caffeine, what I'm thinking of is just make up a compound. You've heard of taurine. You've heard of caffeine. Have you ever heard of balderine? No, because it doesn't exist. All we have to do is take some inert compound, declare it to be balderine, put it in, and just tell people that's what gets them hyper. What we have is a placebo-based alcoholic experience.
I love it. I love it. And I don't know how Chelsea here is going to one up that, but I'm really excited to see what she's has planned. And Hubert, of course, focused on chihuahuas. And I think, Chelsea, you said something about
the beavers.
Oh, beavers and the Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
Yeah, both. Yep. Yep. Both. So what I'm thinking is everybody loves beavers. Everyone loves big beavers, big brown beavers, beavers that are fuzzy, beavers that aren't so fuzzy. Everyone loves beavers. What they also love are tall, hard, erect structures like the Eiffel Tower. Right?
Right.
So the best thing to do is put those two things together. And where else have you seen an alcohol that is using such imagery, such captivating, sensual beings than your own vodka? All right. So you're thinking, okay, I see a beaver. I see a structure, but what are we going to name this thing, right? Is that what you're thinking? I can see that you're thinking that.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking? I can see that thought. So I'm thinking we can say a little bit, maybe it's something along the lines of we go up, rub it out. I don't know. Maybe it's slap your beaver. I don't know. Maybe it's... salute me if you're happy. I don't know. You know, these are, we're just spitballing here. We're just in the first phase is a spitballing. So I'm open to other suggestions. But what I'm really going for is we could have our own mascot. Mm-hmm. It could be a beaver. You don't see a lot of alcohols out there with mascots. So a beaver, I think, would really get some attention out there. We could even send him out to stores. He could be the one, like, giving shots away at the bars, like down by the colleges or something. We could have, you know, there's that song by, Les Claypool about why known as Big Brown Beaver. Maybe we could sample that. And maybe that's it. Maybe we call it Winona's. See? Just spitballing. This is how this industry is done.
Now, I understand where my competitors coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think large, hard, erect structures, mm-hmm. the last thing you want to do is shove it in your beaver. It's just right. intimidating, you know? Yes, yeah. Some people want to drink some alcohol and go find the beaver, but that's not necessarily everybody's goal when getting drunk, right? That's why... you gotta focus on the chihuahua, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much liquor you drink, you'll always go home with the dog.
The heck yeah, I can't argue with that right there, but wouldn't a dog like to go home with a beaver?
What if we joined forces and combine ourselves to give the perfect solution?
That's what I'm thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking what you're thinking.
We're thinking magic right now. We're making magic right now, my friend.
Perfect magic. Quivering beaver liquor.
That's it. Bam, in your face.
So I remember back, it was 30 years ago, I was down near the river where I pulled out a couple of suckers, if you know what I mean. We were down there at the river trying to go after the big one. Wink, wink. You get what I'm saying? Trying to get some, what the kids call the big head. Yeah, you know what I mean. Trying to do a little own, little catfishing of yourself there, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. And thank you so much for coming to Career Day. It was really, really great to hear about your life as a fisherman. It was really, yeah.
I have a,
I have a question.
Yeah, you in the front.
What's a big head?
A big head, it's a technical term for a massive shaft of muscle. Now, this thing moves fast and it hits with hard penetrating force. It's a type of salmon called a steelhead.
Oh, mister, I know about this. I read about it. Is that Moby Dick?
No, though they're often confused. You know, some people say it's the great white dick of the river of Balderdash County, but I caught my fair share of the big steelheads to know that they're really just a fun fish to catch and release.
Okay, I think that's enough questions for Mr. Thompson. Let's bring in our next guest. Thank you again, Mr. Thompson, for that really enlightening speech about your career.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, remember, kids, if you wanna really get ahead, just become a professional hooker. It's amazing what you can pick up. And if you're lucky, you'll catch, well, everything.
Got the new shampoo in the inventory. Gonna open up my eyes.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Hello? Hi.
Oh, hey. Welcome to the salon. What can I do for you today? Are you having an appointment? I think you might have an appointment. What's going on with you?
Yeah, I have an appointment. The name's, Normand.
Norman, yeah. Norman. Let me see here. Yep. Norman on the ledger, number 64. Norman, there you are. Yep.
Oh, number 64. That's not my lucky number. That's okay.
Look, Norman, before you come in too far, look, yeah. I just washed the floors over here. Can you go around and come in my back entrance?
I'll do that. Just right around.
Yeah, you can just slip in the back entrance real easy, right back there.
All right, you want me to knock or yell out something in or anything?
Don't even worry about it. I'm expecting this. You.
All right, I'm prepared. I'll slip right in.
All right. Just gotta lock this door here.
Whoa, that, hey,
oh,
that was
Norman.
You should put a light on. Should put a light on back there. It's kind of dark.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, it's really dark. The back entrance. Sorry about that. All right, Norman. So, come on, sit down. Help yourself out. Here you go. Sit in a high chair. Not like you're a kid, but it's a chair that goes high. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it.
You up.
You are. Yeah. So okay. I was just thinking, you know, nothing fancy, just kind of like a nice trim up, you know, sure. Nice and tight, mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm.
I see that you're going for like a Christopher Walken's pseudo Jerry Maguire character for Tom Cruise here. Yeah, going with your hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So do we want to keep that or we want to do something different? Are you thinking of more like, I don't know, the Lorax meets Jurassic Park?
Well, you know, you're the professional, so I'm going to trust your judgment. But you know, hey, you know, show me the money.
I see what you did there. That's funny. Okay, so we'll go with that then, right?
Okay, yeah.
Mm. Okay, good. You know what? Gosh, Stephanie should be here any minute. I should really let her know to go in the back door.
Hey, it's me, Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie. Before you enter, I'm so sorry, Norman. One second.
Oh my God, I'm writhing around on this wet floor and I had all these bottles of sticky gel and I'm coated in this gel product and I'm slipping around and writhing around on the floor.
And I
She's very descriptive.
The floor. I just washed the floor, Steph. Yeah.
Well, I want you to know what I'm going through.
Okay, well, thank you.
I can see it, smell it, yeah.
All right, I'm just gonna back out slowly.
Yeah, okay. You know, go... Okay, and now go around the bench, back entrance. You're already all lubed up. There's something for you to clean yourself up back there. Go in the sink.
All right, there's like literally no friction. This is pretty cool. All right.
Right. Now. All right, Norman, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
She's new.
Okay.
All right, so a little off the top, let me warm up my Flo-by.
Okay.
All right, it comes right down from the ceiling because we're really high tech around here.
No kidding. Just high chair, high tech.
Yeah. Yeah, you're funny. All right. Oh, watch out. It might pinch your ears a little bit. I won't let it, but I just, a warning.
It tickles it. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Oh, it's warm in here. It's very humid.
Yeah, here, let me slather up your neck a little bit. This is what we do. We got a wet towel back there. Wet your whistle.
Is that the barber medical term for your back of your neck, the whistle?
The whistle, yeah. We wet the whistle, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we learn a lot in cosmetology school.
Yeah. Can see with the Furbies and everything around here.
I'm also an anesthesiologist, sir.
Oh, I'm not that into religion. Yeah. That's good for you, though.
Well, if your religion is eyeshadow, yeah, then we are going to church.
Yeah. It's just right, it's just still getting warm. It's really hot now.
Nice one. Yeah. Right. Sorry. All right. You're pretty cleaned off. I think you're looking good. You're looking sharp.
Thank you.
Feeling sharp? Feeling good?
Feeling sharp. Feeling like I can go out and paint the town fuchsia.
Well, fuchsia. Now that's a color that we don't use often. I might use it on my nails, but you're crazy.
It's my daughter's name.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, Norman. So show me the money.
All right. Here you go.
Okay.
And a little extra for. Oh, jeez. I fell.
Stephanie.
I'm sliding around. There's goo everywhere.
Stephanie, you got the gel on the floor. You didn't clean it up. We got Norman here.
So
falling
sorry.
All over the floor.
Okay.
You're right. There's no friction.
Oh,
there's no
God.
Friction. That's good. Hey, I like the George Clooney Flo-by do. Very good. Very
it is
nice.
Good, isn't it? It
yeah,
is
it's really good. Hey, where do you want me to stick this? What?
You did not spill my baby la 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 torna.
What?
Hey, this is Bob. When I'm not being the headmaster at Balderdash Academy, I run Sleuths Mystery Entertainment. At Sleuths Mystery, we offer something different from your typical mystery experience. Our mysteries are crafted around the game and the experience as a whole. We blend characters, comedy, atmosphere, and a puzzle of a mystery for you to solve. Every show is unique, and every ending is different. At Sleuths Mystery Entertainment, you can see the show, play the game, and solve the mystery. If you're in New England, contact us at sleuthsmystery.com for a killer time.
Have you ever slipped on a suspicious product at a hair salon and injured yourself? Have you ever been forced to go through the back door into a dark enclosure? If so, you need to visit Dewey Cheatham and Howe.
Hey, my name is Norman, and I did have to go in the back door. It was very dark. I couldn't see anything, and I slipped and I fell, and I recorded myself doing it. So I was very embarrassed when I uploaded the videotape to the internet.
If you've had an unfortunate, embarrassing flex tape issue, we have the service for you. At Dewey Cheatham & Howe, we cover all forms of internet embarrassment caused by those small little mom and pop shops that people supposedly love.
Hi, my name is Stephanie, and I worked at that said salon that Norman was at that day, and I came in the front door instead of the back door, and I slipped and I fell in a whole big bunch of clear goopy styling product, and I was forcibly penetrated by a styling tool, and unfortunately that was all caught on tape by Norman, and he posted it online and caused me a lot of personal trauma. So I was not only able to sue through Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, the salon, but also Norman. So thank you guys.
That's right. We will even turn on our own clients to make sure that you get the money you deserve. Here at Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, there's no case too small and no opening too big for us to try to force our way in. At Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, we have you covered, whether it's in the front or the back. Listen to Philippe, he knows what he's talking about. If you have a claim, we are your attorneys. Do we cheat him? And how?
Sorry, I'm late.
Everybody, please take a seat. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Stefan Dewey, and I've been asked by your grandmother to be the executor of this will. I, Margaret Minot, being of sound mind and body, hereby blah, 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 blah. Here's a good thing. To my granddaughter, Susan Dew, and her husband, I leave my favorite pearl necklaces. So apparently your grandmother enjoyed pearl necklaces. That's interesting. That's
actually one of my fondest memories of grandma, was at all of the family events. She always, always was wearing a pearl necklace. And I'm very, very excited to be receiving these necklaces. So, honey, don't worry. You do not have to get me a pearl necklace for my birthday. As you can see, I've inherited 6.
Man, I had so many pearl necklaces lined up for you.
Oh, well, don't worry. Save your money.
Man, I gotta say, that was one of the things I respected most about this woman was, you know, just her passion.
For pearls,
yeah. And,
yeah,
and
her pearl
she
passion.
Would not stop talking about it. And you could tell it's something she loved her entire life.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. This next line here is something I was curious about when I first read the will. A little background would be fantastic on it. Due to my intense love of cream pies, I am leaving my recipes to my chef of a nephew, Gary. Gary Grunge. Gary? Gary, there you are. Cream pies?
What can I say? Cream pies have always been a hobby of mine, just like grandma. She used to always say, if you ever gonna be eating a pie, you might as well leave the cream. Too. So, you know, I miss her a lot. It means a lot for me to have grandma leave me her cream pie recipe. She just loves stuffing things with sweet, sweet cream.
No, I understand. I understand. That makes a lot more sense. Thank you. All right. Oh, this is an interesting one. Because of my love, our shared love of tools, I am leaving my nephew Brian my enormous Snap-ons.
interesting. Brian, I understand you are a race car driver. Snap-on Tools, it does make sense. It's a famous brand. I didn't realize your grandmother was so into tools. Could you explain to me why, where her love of those tools came from?
Yeah. Wow. I'm blown away. This means a lot to me. If grandma loved anything, she loved strapping on a good Snap-on belt of tools. And, you know, she loved, you know, that's every Wednesday, like clockwork, that Snap-on guy would, you know, pull up with his little truck, back right in and unload all the tools that he had, you know, the wrenches, you know, the hammers and the screwdrivers. And she loved all of them. And you know, having her jeans, you know, I share that. And this means a lot to me.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, DIYers all love getting nailed with their Snap-ons.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last thing in the will is interesting. It was quite surprising reading it. I leave my daughter, Michelle, my collection of large, hard...
Afternoon, Dashers. This is your headmaster reminding you that we are now booking live Balderdash Academy. If you want improv comedy, custom game show experiences, team building, and more, you can find us online at balderdashacademy.com. And don't forget to pick up Balderdash Academy merchandise in our school store while you're there.
Balderdash Academy's Teacher's Lounge was produced and edited by Bob LeBlanc. Theme music by Think Fish Tank. Performed and written by Steve Corning, Carla Rose Dubois, Nate Green, Randy Hunt, Bob LeBlanc, Molly McGill, and Marie Stewart Harmon. Copyright 2021, Robert J. LeBlanc and Steve Corning, all rights reserved.
Go Dashers!